play today. We are at the place, your favorite place. The conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today, we have fitness expert extraordinaire, Rochelle Renee. She's also a podcaster, brings. We're going to talk about what she's pouring into individuals and what she is allowing them to pour out. Fitness is so important. And I have made a commitment to myself, a promise to myself that every single day, I'm not doing that 3 days a week, 5 days a week. No, every single day, I am going to do some sort of physical exercise. If it's going for a walk, if it's riding my bike, if it's doing some yoga, if it's sitting at my chair pedaling, because we have to keep it moving, because if we don't move, we're going to lose it. So Rochelle's going to talk to us about that and a whole lot more. Welcome to the show, Rochelle. How are you?
I am great, April. Thank you so much for having me. And hello, brains. I am really excited to be here with all of you today.
I'm glad. Now, do you pronounce your name Rochelle or Rachel?
Rochelle.
Rochelle. Okay. I like that. That's pretty. Tell my brains a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Well, I am a mom of three. I have recently left my 9-to-5 to go all in on my coaching business. So my mission is to help women and moms find health, happiness, and alignment through the various programs I offer. So I have three kids and I've been doing fitness exercise. I've been kind of involved in it in my own sort of personal journey for over 30 years. And I've just been, it's always been a passion of mine. And then about 10 years ago, when I was going through some different things that led me to kind of needing and wanting to get back into it and finding myself kind of struggling with it. And then that sort of led me into learning about other things like the mindset and our inner state and those kinds of things. And so as I continued with that, I just got a real passion for it and realized it's something I really wanted to help other women and moms, especially to just kind of find that, reconnect to themselves and find their best version of themselves and their well-being again. So that's a little bit about what I do.
You're unique because you find it as a passion. A lot of people find it as a chore. But let me tell you what I found it as. I found it as a gift. Because I was walking and I looked at this hill and it was a gigantic hill. And I said, oh Lord, I don't want to walk up this hill. Is there anybody that can take me up this hill? But then I thought about it. How many people can't even get out of bed? How many people can't walk to the bathroom? How many people don't have a beautiful, picturesque area to walk in? How many people are suffering with debilitating diseases that they wish that they could do these things? So I put it in context. This is a gift and it's a passion. You enjoy doing it. But I look at it and I say, you know what? This is a promise that I'm going to keep to myself. How do you keep your clients consistent? How do you keep them motivated?
Yeah, that I love everything you just said because it's so true. And I, you know, for me, it wasn't always like that, you know, definitely early on it was, you know, I viewed it the same way and a lot of people do. And one of the things I've come to learn with working with people and just in doing this is that we kind of lose sight or don't even really think about the mindset aspect of doing this and the fact that, you know, we start off with like, I want to lose weight and there's like a physical aesthetic goal or a health goal perhaps. But we don't really realize or think about this sort of change process that it really involves and that we're embarking on and just how much of the mindset is going to come into play. And so we tend to get really fired up at the beginning and have all this motivation when we're starting off. And then that wanes really quickly and people lose steam really fast when that motivation wanes. And then it's easier to kind of fall back in the old patterns because that initial foundation hasn't been laid of the mindset and really, like you were touching on a second ago, making that commitment. So one of the things that I do is I really start off with the mindset part of it, pardon me, and the setting the intentions, making clear goals and making a commitment to yourself. So that's something that I help women with is to start off from that place. Not just, I talk about having a why and really getting clear about what your why is, because it's going to keep you going past that point. Because if you don't kind of start with that and really look beyond oh, I want to look good in my swimsuit this summer or something along those lines, you're not going to have that extra to kind of keep you moving past that point when the motivation wanes, which is very early in.
And you know what else happens? What people want is they're looking for that magical number. Girl, I struggle with that plastic and scale. You go and you weigh yourself and then you weigh it. You lost 4 pounds and you gained 4 pounds. And then you go to the doctor. You go to the doctor, you get on the scale and it looks like you didn't gain 8 pounds. It's not about the number, it's about how you feel, but also it's getting on the bloat. I had to realize that. People don't take that into consideration. They want that automatic decrease in that number, but you got to get all that extra gas, you got to get all that extra slime out of your colon, you got to change your taste buds. All of this takes time.
Exactly.
Allow yourself grace, allow yourself time, make it a fun activity. That's why I don't do the same activity every day. Sometimes, like I said, I ride my bike or I walk, because if I feel that I have to clock in at the gym, I feel like it's a chore and it's a job. I have a little basket and I've got all these different activities on a little piece of paper and I put in there and I close my eyes and I pull it out and I say, okay, this is what I'm going to do today. I got a hula hoop, all kinds of things to make it fun, and to get that going. Also, in addition to that, there's so many things that you can do around the house.
Yeah.
Gardening. I couldn't believe how much it took to move those pounds of dirt from one place. I'm constantly bending over, getting up. I was exhausted and breaking a sweat.
Yes.
When I didn't break a sweat, I feel like I didn't do anything. I didn't exert any energy. What are some of the activities that you encourage your clients to do outside of clocking in at the gym?
Okay. Yeah. So I'm a big advocate of strength training for sure. However it looks, it like you're talking about with gardening is a great example of some of the more functional ways to build your strength outside of the gym. There's a lot you can do at home too, with home workouts, with minimal equipment. Cause I know one of the things I've learned in working with women, especially when they're just starting off, a lot of times they're not comfortable going to the gym. They don't want to go to the gym. They want to be able to do it at home. Especially like if you have younger kids and, it's harder to get out to go to the gym. So there's a lot of great workouts you can get with either resistance bands or even just a few dumbbells and things that you can do at the house. There's also, like you said, there's all the different activities you do around the house that all, adds up, and it's all things that help you get exercise and burn calories. So even just, cleaning the house and doing things around the house or the yard are great.
Cotton picking vacuum cleaner sometimes will wear you out if you're really trying to do a deep clean. And you know what else I do when I'm cooking and I get a little cramp, I'll sit in the chair and I'll do some chair yoga while I'm waiting for the pork chops to fry up. Or when I'm at the sink, I will do push-ups against the sink.
That's a great way to, yeah.
And again, you got to think, brains.
Yeah. Yes. And I love that you said too, that to finding ways to make it fun, because that's another thing. I have, sort of structured workouts that I will put together for people that they can either do at home or the gym, depending on preference. But especially when it comes to the cardio piece, I find that it's really important to find what you really like to do. The things that are enjoyable and going, the other thing I think is a lot of times we see these programs where they're way over the top, you hear these crazy like titles for them, like Insanity or something like that. And it's like these intensive, workouts that, are really, they take a lot. And a lot of people don't want to do that all the time or on a longer term basis. And it kind of, they can lead you into this thinking that that's what you have to do to burn a lot of calories or to get good cardio, when really walking is king as far as cardio goes. It's a great way to burn fat. It's a great, especially to go out in nature, like for your mental health and clearing your mind and all of those kinds of things, your stress reduction. So walking is one of the biggest things I recommend and advocate for a form of cardio. So it doesn't have to be like some of these kind of crazy stuff that we see in some of these programs. I mean, those are great too, if you're really, that's your thing, but.
But YouTube is your friend.
Yes, YouTube is great.
Anything that you want, from breath work to meditation to yoga, beginner, advance, anything, everything. So when you're not working with Rachel, when you're not working with her, you can say, okay, well, this is a Saturday afternoon. Let me do this for 30 minutes, or let me try something else and see if I can incorporate that in the program. Because
Yeah.
diversity is key, even dribbling a basketball. I'm telling you, brains, I have tried so many things. And I was like, well, this really, as when you get to a particular age, okay, anything you do sometime is like, wow, I really did this. And loving yourself, just get naked and stand there and just look. Yes, it might be shocking because it's not what it used to be, and it'll never go back to that way. But love what you see, because you got it honestly. Every stretch mark you got, you know, when your breast is drooping, you nursed your babies. When you got those stretch marks, you carried your babies. When you got that, you know, that flabby booty, that was because you were shaking it at the club. All those things, you know, you have to look at it and not judge it. There's a lot of people that do, Botox, or, you know, we call them injecto booties, or all these other things, but they're short-lived. They won't do it. Let's talk about the person that has to be reintroduced to themselves. A lot of times you're sending your representative. Okay, and here you go. You done lost that 40 pounds, that 50 pounds. You're looking fine, but your mindset is not there. Sometimes it's a struggle for people to adjust to the new person that they're meeting. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh yes, it's amazing everything you were just saying hit so close to home for me, and it's actually what led me to create the programs I have right now. Because when I started back with this after I had my youngest, and over the course of the time I've been doing all this, one of the things I learned the hard way is kind of what you were saying. I had body dysmorphia from a very young age. So I was, always trying to lose weight to fix that. So I saw weight loss as the silver bullet. Like if I lost weight, everything would be better. I would feel better. It was like this in my brain. It was like this magical thing if I lost the weight. Well, there was a point when I was younger where I lost the weight. I hit the number on the scale I thought I should be at. I hit the size I thought I should be. Well, guess what? When I looked in the mirror, I still did not like what I saw because the body dysmorphia was still there. I hadn't dealt with the underlying mindset. I hadn't dealt with the underlying things that were driving me to that. I didn't know how. I didn't really know to do that because, like I said, I thought the weight loss was the solution. So, that is probably the biggest thing that is kind of a thread through a lot of what I do, because it's you're so right. Like you can do all the things, you can lose all the weight in the world, you could get surgery, all this and that, but it's not going to matter if you haven't fixed what's happening in your mind, and how you really, that inner dialogue, how you're talking to yourself, how you're thinking about yourself when you're looking in the mirror. So that
So yeah, you were talking about, you know, body dysmorphia. I get it, because it changes, and it's supposed to. You are not the person that you were at 5. You're not the person you were at 15 or 25. You're not the person you're going to be at 65. What do you think it is with, I'll say, women in particular? A lot of men are going through this too. That they want to turn back the hands of time. They want to stay forever young. What is the shame associated with aging gracefully?
that's a great question. I think a lot of it is what we see, in magazines and movies and, television and celebrities and these images, that we're bombarded with. And so we have, these examples in those all those platforms and these people that we kind of put on these pedestals as like beautiful, and this is the image of beauty and whatever. And she's 50 and she looks like she's 30 kind of thing. We see that those messages all the time. And so then
Until you look at her neck and you look at her hands. When
yeah.
you look at her neck and her hands, you know she's 900 years old, okay?
Exactly.
I know one celebrity. I'm not going, because she's my friend, and let me tell you, she's very high profile. But baby, she will get an injection in her face, and her lips. And people know that that is not really who you are. But if it makes you feel good, then that's what you have to consider. What it is that makes you feel good? Is it the outside influence? Are you doing it for your man? Because you can't do it for men. I mean, I look at some of these, again, I know a lot of celebrities, and I know this real power couple, and she is the queen, and he's still out trolling. So it's not about you per se, it's about the other person. So that's why I say you got to do the deep dive. You got to love the person that's within you. And that's the mental fitness. That's the heavy
Yes.
lifting. That's the real power lifting that you're doing in your life outside of the weights and all that other stuff. You incorporate things, diet. Now, you know what I found that's interesting is that water put a lot of bloat on me as well. People say, oh, drink tons of water. Drink. Yeah. Well, again, I eliminate. I pee a lot. Don't get me wrong. But I would drink almost sometimes a gallon of water and my stomach would just be bloated. Yeah, so I don't know if I'm retaining a lot of salt still, but what is your take on water? Should we just stick to the regulated amount, or do you think that we should have a lot of water depending upon the type of exercises that we're doing?
Yeah, that's a great question too. I there's a lot of different things you'll see out there, but I think especially depending on if you're if depending on where you are, because I know like for me, it took me a year to go completely drinking only water because I was like, I just hated drinking water when I first started with it. And you'll hear things like drink a gallon a day, or you'll hear things like drink your weight in ounces of water. But there's caveats to that because depending on what your weight is, you might not, it might be less than that, it might be more than that. So I think a general good rule of thumb is to aim for about a gallon and don't go below 100 ounces is a good target to be in. But yeah, it will help you with a lot of other things in terms of, detoxification, and helps you process, food. It helps you with fat burning and those kinds of things, and helps you feel satiated as well. 'Cause a lot of times we mistake, yeah, thirst for hunger. So we'll think we're hungry when really we just haven't had enough water.
Right. And
So
it
yeah.
depends on your medical condition. Some people can't, because of they have different medical conditions, they can't consume a lot of water. So you want to think about that.
Right.
Sugars. The Chinese call sugar sweet poison, and they are absolutely right. And I love it. But I don't deprive myself, but I watch what I drink because I was drinking my calories. You know,
Oh,
that
yeah.
goal. You know, you don't
Oh,
realize
yeah.
that. And I had to tell myself, April, if you're going for a second or third refill, you have never quenched your thirst.
Right.
You're looking for the sugar. Water is the only pure thing that actually helps you quench your thirst. And
Yes.
you have to decide if you want to put some fruit in it, if you like it room temperature, if you like it cold. I think that's why my mother, honestly, she took a lot of medication. But she was heavy on water. She drank a lot of water to help
Yeah.
quench that, to really help quench.
Well, increasing your fruit and vegetable intake as well, especially fresh fruits, is also a good way to hydrate, because they call it like eating your water, because there's a lot of water in there as well. So, and it can help with the sweet part of it too. But you're right, like the sugar is it's tricky, because it also will up your hunger, because you've got all that insulin floating around from the sugar intake, and then your body's like looking for something to do with it, because it's triggering, your body to eat more. So yeah, and like you said, the calories. I mean, even in the like some of these coffees people drink every morning, you could easily be drinking 600 to 1,000 calories depending on what you're putting in those.
And tea, you know, no, what I found with tea, me personally, I found that it caused acid reflux.
Really? Wow.
Yes, I found that it
Yeah.
caused acid reflux and also it stains the heck out of your teeth. You think coffee
Yeah.
and cigarettes do it. Tea can do something to your teeth as well.
Yeah.
Switch reels. Let's talk about your podcast.
Okay, right
I'm
on.
excited about that. You're relatively new on the podcast scene, considering to a seasoned veteran and one of the innovators of podcasts. I'm not an innovator, maybe I should say one of the pioneers of
Yeah.
podcasting. me a little bit about your show. What is your goal, and who's your target guest?
Yeah, so it's a similar target audience, women and moms, just looking to improve their health and well-being, their mindset, just kind of reconnecting to themselves. So I started it a little over a year ago. I started it March 2023. And so it's called Faith, Fitness, Joy. And I talk about basically all things health and wellness of the mind, body, and soul. So I've been doing, I do it twice a week. So I do it on Mondays and Wednesdays. And I talk, the Monday episodes are usually geared more towards things like exercise, nutrition, ways to eat healthy, healthy recipes, just different tips and tricks I've learned along the way that help me stay on track. And on the Wednesday episodes is more of the mindset focus, more of kind of the spiritual alignment and increasing your spiritual health and well-being, reducing your stress, those types of things. So I really kind of aim it and design all my content with the person in mind who maybe can't afford to go get a coach or doesn't want to work with a coach or is just for whatever reason trying to navigate their health and well-being on their own. So that they have some resources and information for how to do that, and just some helpful tips and tricks for all of the things related to that that I've learned over the years.
Well, podcasts are the bee's knees, let me tell you,
I
because
agree.
yeah, people are looking for independent news sources. They're tired of the same old cookie cutter information Debbie Downers that they get with mainstream media. You know, I work in mainstream media, and a lot of times I've been there, and they tell the audience, "Look, here, we're to create a sensation. We're here to create television, not deliver the news, not tell factually what it is, but to create excitement and sensation." And sometimes people just want information. They don't want to necessarily be stimulated.
Right.
So, you know, we have a lot of responsibility as podcasters is to get that information out and to vet our guests to make sure that our guests are in alignment with our values because it's representing us, but also how is it going to resonate with our audience because our audience are tuning in to listen to us. And we value you, we respect you wholeheartedly, brains, for tuning in. Without you tuning in, there wouldn't be any reason for us to do what we do. So we really, really appreciate you. And I speak for Rochelle and myself when I say that. You've got an upcoming release of a great program. Tell us a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. It's a 6-week slim down program. So it's designed to help you not just kickstart, but kind of get past the hump with your fitness routine. So in the program, it includes 6 weeks of workouts. It includes a nutrition plan, 6 weekly coaching calls, and then you'll have also access to me as your coach through the trainer app, and then also a private Facebook community to help with, you know, just it makes a big difference when you have other people kind of on the journey with you, if you will, that are also working towards the same thing and help cheer you on.
It held you accountable.
Yeah, exactly. And the support, and you need that, you need the accountability. So, and that's what the app helps with as well, because I'll be able to see when you're working out and be able to check in on you and make sure you're, you know, what you're running into and how I can help you kind of get on track or stay on track.
So let's ask some fun questions. You know, I love to do this. What is your favorite eating guilty pleasure? I take off your fitness guru hat, what do you like to get down and dirty with?
That's a great question. Well, I'm Mex-Italian, so I love both of those foods. Like, so anything Italian or Mexican, I just absolutely love. So most any
Like
pasta.
cheese?
Yes,
Cheese
I
and
love cheese.
sauces?
Yeah, like Alfredo. I
Ooh,
make a
yeah.
mean Alfredo, so I like to do that. So like sometimes if I'm just, yeah, taking my fitness hat off for a day or so.
Yeah, that's you know, sometimes we have to reward ourselves as well, brains. You know, you go all week and then come Saturday, I want some pancakes or I want some grits or some cream of wheat with some sugar. I want that and I feel that I deserve it. But again, we are eating to live, not living to eat. If you were an appliance in the kitchen, what appliance would you be?
Oh my goodness. I'd probably be a KitchenAid.
A
That's the
KitchenAid.
first thing that came to my head. Yeah.
Oh, we bought my daughter one of those things, and you would have think thought she won the lottery. She's just
They're awesome.
happy. She loves it. So you like to bake breads or, make your own pasta, those type of things?
Yeah, I love to do stuff from scratch. I don't always have time, obviously, but I was fortunate to have both of my grandmas teach me different things, and they were both big on cooking from scratch. So I learned a lot from them. And I don't know, it's better from scratch.
It is, but
So.
you're a mother of three. What are your children's eating habits? Because I tell you, I was with some kids, and they were like, Miss April. I said, oh no, we're not going there, we're going to my house. But the fun thing about it was I put them in the kitchen, I gave them all aprons, we cooked. We went out in my garden, we got some fresh tomatoes, we got some fresh herbs, we put it all together. They were so excited to eat. What challenges do you have, or are your kids good eaters?
That, no, I have
I
challenges
say
for
have
sure. I mean,
a healthy diet, maybe I should say that.
yeah, I try to. So I have three of them, right? So you always have like the one that won't eat anything, and that's my daughter. So she's like really picky. So I usually, have to try to like she won't eat pasta with the sauces on it. So it's usually like set aside plain pasta for her, for example. My two boys, they pretty much are they're more balanced eaters, I would say. So they'll eat, vegetables and the protein and, whatever we have for the carbohydrates. But then my youngest is like a giant sweet tooth. So he is always wanting the candy and the sweets. So it's a challenge trying to like not be overly restrictive with them so that they can still kind of be kids and have the enjoy those things, but also teaching them how to eat healthier. And they all love to help with the cooking and the baking, especially baking. So we often will do that together and kind of make it like a fun thing to do.
Now, what about fitness? Do they enjoy fitness? Do they like to, go outside and play and extract themselves from the device?
Yeah, actually they do. I mean, they love their devices. But I have like a walking pad, and then I have a heavy bag and different things at the house. So like my oldest likes to work out with the heavy bag, and he likes to take walks. So when the weather's nice, like it is now that the snow is gone, he likes to go walk around the neighborhood. There's like a gas station they just built nearby. They like to take a walk down there and go get like a Slurpee or something like that. So they're pretty good about getting out and doing stuff, especially when the weather is nicer. And then they have different stuff I try to get for them to make sure that they're not just on the screen all the time. So they have like this fort set in this room downstairs that they'll play with too and build stuff with that. And
Ooh.
they make little games out of it.
What do you tell the woman that is just laying up there like lunch meat, just a big old piece of baloney that just doesn't have the motivation to get started? What would you say to her?
I would say I've been in that place, and I know it can be very difficult to get yourself going. And so I would start with maybe asking yourself what you're fed up with and what you're tired of and what you're ready to change. And then kind of once you look at that, and then thinking about what do you want for yourself? How would you want it to be? How do you want to feel? And then, you'll kind of have these two different lists, and then it's kind of taking the time to recognize that you're the only person that can change it for yourself. Nobody can do it for you. And you can either, they're both hard, right? It's hard to be in that position where you're unmotivated, you're in depression. I mean, I've been there. And it's hard to pull yourself out of that for sure. But it's also, on the flip side, people can tell, will say it's hard to work out every day and eat right and all those types of things. It's just which one do you want to stay with, and the consequences in the long term of, not
And I
making that
tell you,
investment in yourself.
brains, the biggest, there's two things. The hardest part is putting on your tennis shoes. And the second one is, realizing that you deserve it, that you deserve it. And the third thing is, don't overthink it. Don't think of it as a chore. That's like me. When it comes in my mind, it's like, oh, okay, what time is the sun's about to go down? Let me get out and do what I was going to do. Let me get up from this computer, go somewhere else, have my lunch, go outside, take some, you know, take in some fresh air, you know, have a conversation with someone, pick up a book, read, stimulate your mind, learn something. If you do those things and just make it a habit, there's a great book, Atomic Habits. I don't know if you've read that yet.
Oh yeah. I want to get that. I saw him speak at the Global Leadership Summit last year. I forget his name, but yeah.
And it's so easy to incorporate two things. That's like me. When I'm editing, I have a bike pedaler up under my desk.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I pedal. Like I said, when I'm cooking and I'm at the sink, I do a few push-ups. You can incorporate and do things. You talk about multitasking. Let one of those tasks be something that enhances you. And another thing that can enhance you is working with this lady right here. Please tell my friends how to get in contact with you, how to connect with you, and how to tune into the podcast.
Oh, awesome. Well, brains, you can reach me on Facebook. On my Facebook page is Rochelle Renee. I also have a Faith Fitness Joy page. And then I'm also Faith Fitness Joy on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. So you can catch my podcast on YouTube, or you can catch it on any podcasting app. My main site is Podbean. So it's Faith Fitness Joy at podbean.com, .podbean.com.
Well, go in and get your fitness, okay? Do more lifting outside of this.
Exactly.
And it's okay. Don't deprive yourself if you want to have something sweet or have a cocktail or have some Mexican food or some pasta. You can go ahead and do that. But don't let that be your everyday existence, because we want you to live a healthy life. And you have to move it. If you don't move it, brains, you're going to lose it.
Yes.
So don't lose it. Stay here with us close on the edge. I need you to like, love, share, and subscribe. What? Like, love, share, and subscribe. Here's the address right here. You see it? Right here on the edge. This is a place that we love you from the bottom of our socks, because our heart just isn't deep enough. Thank you so much, Rochelle Renee. You are the best. Keep working it out.
Thank you.
Bye, brains.